There's a man who's seen it all, a true hero standing tall with a badge and a pen. He takes a stage, John Moore, the freedom sage. From the Green Berets he served his land, a detective with a steady hand. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall.
We're on Wednesday, the 17th day of April. The purpose of today is to get training in both first aid and CPR. You could literally save a life. One of the students in a class I put together, he saved the life of his aunt, and you can do this too. With Patient Wayne DeGreen and my friend Jeff Nyquist, Jeff began a quest about 39 years ago, I think I got that right, to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Comics Conspiracy. He has an excellent website. I'll give it twice slowly. Excellent. One, sometimes two articles a week. JRNyquist.blog. I say again, JRNyquist.blog, and 6 books available for sale at Amazon.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us as always, sir. We have a regular call. We don't hear from him all that much, but from the beautiful country of Germany, where they're killing themselves by eliminating energy sources, Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Nyquist,
good morning.
I'd like to ask you the same question you asked Jimmy from Brooklyn. You asked him, you said, it's election year. Do you think Trump really can do wonderful things against communism? I wonder.
Well, it depends on his understanding and how much he's learned. I don't know. Because he didn't completely succeed when he was president before. He did wonderful things to China in terms of constraining their trade in a way that forced their hand. Now, a lot of the world is withdrawing. A lot of companies are pulling out of China, decoupling from China, because Trump began this process for a principle, which was to protect American jobs and to keep China from using unfair trade practices. That free trade is only really follows the principles of free trade if both sides respect the rules. China breaks the rules and cheats and steals intellectual property and more. They devalue their own currency in order to get trade advantages. So Trump went after them for that. The first and only president to do that. And this led to a series of events, which we see as a war in Ukraine, China mobilizing, and the Chinese economy in a state of free fall. So if Trump could just do just one thing like that and strengthen the country's defenses, military defenses, we're going to be a lot better off. Whether he's going to solve the problem of communism, maybe it's not soluble. And because there's probably not enough in a recognized brain trust of people advising presidents to actually have a real solution. There has to be some kind of evolution in the thinking of people, which might be happening now with this war in Ukraine. People seem to have a disaster before they understand the danger. Here in this country, with our open southern border and a president who has all these Marxists around him like Biden, people have to see how horrible this phenomena of socialism is in order to stand up against it. I'm hoping people are being educated on this, but I've been disappointed before.
I actually, with the Polish translation of Golitsyn's New Lies for Old, Antoni Macierewicz, the conservative, then he was actually in charge of counterintelligence in Poland. In 2007, he actually had that Polish version of Golitsyn published, and then made part of the library for counterintelligence. So that was 3 years before that plane went down in Smolensk. And I bet in these 3 years, everybody on that plane, all these politicians, they actually knew about it. They probably knew about Golitsyn. And that, and the chance to erase them all by downing the plane, you know, that destroyed, well, a whole bunch of anti-communists in Poland.
It did.
It's hard to recover.
That plane was full of anti-communists. But Macierewicz was supposed to be on that plane, but he wasn't.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's all.
Macierewicz,
I'm glad you mentioned. He has been a Polish freedom fighter, a fighter against communism in Poland for many years, from before the fall of the communist regime, supposed fall of it. And he fought from within very courageously. And people, you know, I know a Polish journalist who was physically assaulted for his work against communism, for what he wrote. In fact, he ended up fleeing it because he knew most of the people on that plane. He fled Poland because he thought it was too dangerous for him. So this is how brave you have to be to stand up to communism when you're vocal. And to publish that book, by the way, when he had Golitsyn translated, Macierewicz had it translated into Polish, the Kaczynski government, there were twins, president and the prime minister were twin brothers. This is in 2007. The communists were so eager to collapse that government, they effectively were able to do it. And then they went to destroy every copy of the published Golitsyn translation into Polish that they could find.
They did. Was a ground up. It disappeared out of the library of counterintelligence. Yeah.
And because they did not, this shows you how important Golitsyn is. If the book is written by a crackpot and has no truth in it, why would these agents of communism want to destroy the book? You know. So I thank you for bringing that subject up.
Thomas, before we get away, there's a member of the German government who's advocating banning private traveling with trucks and automobiles on weekends. Are you aware of that, sir?
Well, yeah. We have in Germany a green minister for economy and climate protection, Robert Habeck. And yesterday, an alternative news site actually published a speech where he acknowledges the planned destruction of the German economy. This is hardcore socialist, green, communist action. Very blunt. Everybody thinks they're crazy, but they just continue step by step. And they execute this plan. And it's been now half a year of every newspaper. Now it's all the international newspapers, all the countries shaking their head, this self-destruct mode of Germany. But it is actually so sad that, you know, having East and Western Germany that the Germans themselves, they don't see this socialist destructive strategy. They don't see communism behind the crazy behavior. And then they used to look back to the U.S. 3 years ago during the COVID time. And now they don't, because if they would look to the U.S. and actually see behind, you know, all the anti-Trump mainstream messages, see actually what's going on in the States, they might have an idea that, you know, you can stand up, that there is conservative values that are great. But right now in Germany, minds, there's no conservatism. It's straight away, it's not, you're not a Nazi. So people, they're lost, and they don't see it, and I can't believe it, you know, because, you know, there's some smart people here, but, you know, they don't get it. The Polish do. And all of Europe is keeping that conservative Polish idea far away from the mainstream. The new conservative idea that is going on in Slovakia now is to copy Hungary. So that's the new model. If you wake up, if you're anti-vax also, so they combine, you know, the lessons of COVID, and of course you have to be anti-Ukrainian too, and then you copy the Hungarian way.
What's your thoughts on the Hungarian way, Thomas?
Well, it's the communist Russian way. It's the new trick. Honestly, it's the MAGA way.
Okay.
I mean, Orban has been, you know, invited to CPAC, and there has been a CPAC in Hungary. But it is definitely, you know, combining the good popular ideas of conservatism against wokeness, but you know, definitely pro-Russian. There's no other way. And also,
so it's a mixed bag. Well, Hungary's been very resistant to them. They have virtually no Muslim immigration, right, in Hungary?
And so does Poland. And I don't know how to talk
and
about
Poland,
this
same.
Now, because it's a blessing. In Germany right now, everybody thinks about leaving if you have kids. I mean, how weak is a country where your kids are getting knifed, where there's rapes? I mean, thank God for Americans owning guns. You would never let that happen, not even a Democrat. If crime is rising, you protect yourself. Without guns, you can't do it. And the immigrants, they have such an understanding of the naive or weak Germans. They really, they're here. They're here to stay, and they're here to make this country in the image, in their image, because they can, because the Germans allow it. It's because of, you know, the guilt of the Second World War and this kind of being lost, not having conservative values. But, you know, very practically on the road, it's dangerous in Germany, and everybody laughs. And the foreign countries laugh, because how can that be, you know? It stops with children, and it doesn't.
Well, we appreciate the update, Thomas. Anything else for us before we get away?
I'll keep up the good work, and I would say, you know, America has, at least for me, it's never been more, you know, in this good version, a city up on a hill, because, you know, we need some place where conservative values are meeting God and somehow also get traction on the road, where states can actually free themselves from federal dictate. Here in Europe with the EU and the national governments, it's a very long way until you get to you don't really get to a state, anybody. That you don't have that dimension here. It's all federal very quickly. So in decentralization lies freedom.
Thomas, have you considered leaving Germany yourself?
Oh, yeah. My kid's growing up in Poland. That's the conclusion.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Thomas. We appreciate the update. Don't be a stranger, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, Jeff, Thomas has some very important insights, doesn't he, sir?
Yes, and I've heard the same thing from my other German friends. It's a very scary situation. I think United States is following some of the same policies. You know, and this is, if the Democrats had their way, they would impose that green agenda on us here too, if there was no opposition to it. And of course, they have destroyed the German economy. And the question is, why? Who is behind it? Thomas said it very eloquently. The communists are behind it. And it's like I'm reminded of, in terms of Ukraine, you know, the terror famine, the Holodomor, there's this misunderstanding. People said, oh, it's just an effect of farm collectivization. I know the entire Soviet Union was farm collectivized, but only where there were Ukrainians were there people deprived of food. Did they actually blockade the people from the food? They would come in and confiscate all the food and forcibly starve them. Why? Because the Russian government saw the Ukrainians were not amenable to socialism. When the Soviet Union was implementing severe socialist measures, so the Ukrainian population had to be reduced and Russians brought in because the Russians were more accepting of socialism and would go along with what they were told. And this is this is the thing. When you see all these, you know, LGBTQ and feminism, radical feminism, and all these other isms that destroy our society coming in, and you say, well, this isn't coming from communism because they don't have them in Russia. Well, they didn't have the Holodomor in Russia either. These are all measures to reduce our population and to weaken us so that they can basically take us over. And they will use those kind of measures to destroy any population or group that stands to resist them. And this goes for Beijing and Moscow both. You look at Tibet or the Western Chinese provinces where they're murdering, you know, Uyghurs. It's any group that is resistant to socialist dictate is going to be genocided. And Putin in his interview with Tucker Carlson was very clear. He didn't use the word genocide, but the way he talked about Ukraine is clear from the definition of genocide that that's what he's carrying out in Ukraine, just the same way Stalin did, because they don't want socialism.
All right. You ready for our next call here, Jeff?
Yes.
We got Michelle in New York. Morning, Michelle.
Good morning. So I'd like to take us back to 1945. There's a book by Harry Cooper called Hitler in Argentina, The Documented Truth of Hitler's Escape from Berlin. And I don't have a copy of the book. These are just screenshots that I took from Steve Quayle's website, because the book's out of stock or I would have gotten it. And it says on the back of the book, who said that Hitler did not die in the Berlin bunker in 1945? President Harry Truman asked Soviet leader Joseph Stalin at the Potsdam Conference in 1945 if Hitler was dead. Stalin simply said no. And after a long and thorough investigation, Field Marshal Gregory Zhukov told Joseph Stalin, we have found no corpse that could be Hitler's. And on October 12, 1945, General I'm probably butchering these names, Battle Smith, Eisenhower's chief of staff, said no human being can say conclusively that Hitler is dead. The commanding general of the U.S. sector of Berlin, Major General Floyd Park, stated for a publication that he was present when Marshal Zhukov stated that Hitler might have escaped. So are the mainline stories true about Hitler's death, or is a book like this just educated speculation? Because apparently there were spies that saw him walking around Argentina.
We'll get Jeff's response after the break. We'll be right back.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Company! We'll fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. I got a fresh shipment of energy cleaners in yesterday. This is my home business. When you place your order, I personally box up your energy cleaner. Your mattress pad that goes with it. Take it to the little country post office at Cherville, Missouri, where it goes out by the U.S. Postal Service. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check out the energy cleaner. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on energy cleaner. Jeff, before we get back to our caller, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article or video every week that people can contribute to keep the site going.
Do you have more to add to Michelle's question before we move on?
I didn't answer her question.
Let's go ahead then.
It's an interesting question. The main problem with these books saying that Hitler survived, and it doesn't mean it isn't possible he didn't, is that there were several witnesses who survived the bunker who were witnesses to Hitler's death. Heinz Linge, who wrote an extensive memoir, which I've read many times, our Raucous Misch, there were others in the bunker at the time, General Krebs, who was the head chief of the general staff, was in the bunker. Lots of these people, Misch was a bodyguard, Heinz Linge was his valet bodyguard. They carried the body to a crater, an Eva Braun's body, and burned them. Now, there could have been a switch. Now, these people were all, another thing, all these people were captives in the Soviet Union. And we know from things these captives in the Soviet Union said, important captives like these folks were, is that their release, in order to be released from the Soviet Union to go back to Germany, they had to sign some kind of an agreement to effectively do certain things the Soviets and to only say things the Soviets wanted them to say and do. Now the question arises, were the Soviets interested in covering up Hitler's escape? Because the only reason they would lie and lie till their dying day, I mean, Rokas Mish, I think he lived into his 90s. I think he lived into the 21st century and never changed his story about Hitler's death. The same thing with Heinz Linge and the others that were in the bunker that survived, the several others, is that you can't, Stalin did something interesting. He claimed the Allies let Hitler get away, let Hitler escape. It's very curious. Why would Stalin say this? Because Stalin's principle was always accuse other people of what you have done, right? And there is this question in the latter part of World War II. Hitler made some kind of an agreement with Stalin, and we know this from a number of circumstantial evidence and direct evidence. In 1943, the head of German military intelligence, Admiral Canaris, along with Reinhard Gehlen, the head of Foreign Armies East, which was East Front military intelligence, had discovered independently that Martin Bormann, Hitler's right hand, was operating a series of transmitters, transmitting coded traffic to Moscow and receiving coded traffic from Moscow. And Canaris thought, well, this must mean that Martin Bormann is a Soviet agent, which he was. I think a lot of historians and investigators have concluded that. But it was worse than that. It was, in effect, this agent had turned Hitler himself, because when Canaris and Gehlen went and confronted Hitler in 1943 about these transmitters, Hitler said, oh, I gave Bormann permission. That's my secret back channel to Stalin. And where this becomes very suspicious is in 1944, Hitler's army group center collapsed. At the same time, the Battle of Normandy was going on. The Allies were struggling to break out. Stalin's armies, in a double envelopment, destroyed the German army group center. And there was nothing, basically, but a handful of units between this massive Soviet army and Berlin. And in fact, in Warsaw, but they stopped before Warsaw and they started fighting the Polish Home Army as the Nazis were. So the Nazis and communists were combining against the Free Polish, the Home Army. This is a fascinating detail. And the Russians did not, who could have pushed directly into East Prussia and into towards Germany, did not. They stopped their forward movement. They invaded Romania instead and the Balkan countries, Romania, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, as if giving Hitler a break. And it's very funny, the Russians did not resume their offensive in the direction of Berlin until after the Battle of the Bulge, when the Battle of the Bulge was winding down. Now, it's very funny because Hitler took two panzer armies, his last two effective panzer armies, and another army, and he attacked the Americans in the Ardennes, the Battle of the Bulge, as we know it, they call it the Ardennes Offensive. So why did Hitler do this? And then when it looked like the Western armies, then when that offensive ended, he ordered the destruction of Germany's industrial heartland, which was in West Germany, in the Ruhr. And that was something Stalin did not want the Allies to get it. He wanted to get it, and if he couldn't get it, Stalin wanted it destroyed. So why did Hitler... No, there's no reason Hitler lost a war. He was supposedly going to put a bullet in his brain. What difference does it make whether or not everything was sabotaged, you know?
All right, all right. We'll get back to your comments after the break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Gather around the fire, won't you take a seat? There's a tale to tell about a stove so neat. It warms your body and it warms your soul. Liberator Rocket Stove, gonna make you whole, oh yeah.
No smoke, no fuss, just the warmth you need. Cooking up a meal while you plant your seed.
Uses wood or pellets, it's a natural burn. Liberator Rocket Stove will make you yearn.
Fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. You want to get up to speed on the worst crime in history? That would be the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. My COVID panel has that for you, more than 200 articles and videos. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. You want to address this matter of Hitler dying or not dying in Berlin, or move on, Jeff?
Yeah, just to finish the question. So everything depends on whether Hitler made this deal and whether it's credible that so many witnesses would not break over so many years and tell the truth that, you know, especially after the fall of the Soviet Union, and say that Hitler had actually escaped. Because, you know, these people would be in a position to know. It's one of those things. I tend to think that he did not escape because of those witnesses. Because one of them, it's unbelievable that none of these witnesses would have said, look, the Russians made us say this. You know, in their old age, one of them would have said, look, the Russians made us say it, but Hitler got away. One of the witnesses that was there, which was the major that controlled Ninth Army in the Battle of Berlin, He was in captivity in Russia. His memoir is very interesting. He said that they were trying to talk Hitler into escaping for days in April 1945, and Hitler refused and insisted on continuing to fight until the ability to escape was gone. And aircraft couldn't, you know, they chopped down on the main road there near the Reichschancellery, they literally chopped down all the street lamps so that planes' wings could be accommodated so they could land planes on there. But there was the last plane that landed, crash-landed, and it was all blocked up, and there was no way to fly in or out, and the city was sealed off. So he was quite clear that, and General Krebs would have tried to escape, but he committed suicide. The others just took their chances by letting the Russians take them prisoner. So I tend to think that it's not true, that he didn't get away.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Is Michelle still with us?
I'm still with you guys.
Okay. You got a follow-up question or for us, Michelle?
It's just really interesting because this book, it has a picture of him apparently as an old man, like right before his death, and it looks just like him. It's really creepy. Like he has like this bandana on the top of his face. You can like barely make out his eyes, but like he still has that mustache going, and it looks just like him. But the description of the back of the book is really interesting that I'll read really quick. I know you have to move on, but it says, as you read through the book taken from the file of the Spanish spy who worked for the Reich and who saw Hitler and Eva Braun forcibly drugged and removed from the bunker under orders of Martin Bormann, you will realize that Hitler's suicide was a well-conceived escape planned by the man who desperately had to keep the Reich and thereby Hitler alive, Martin Bormann. This book also contains photos of places Hitler lived in Argentina, interviews with people there and in Europe. FBI and OSS files clearly stating that they and the United States government knew that Hitler did not die in Berlin. So I just wanted to add that. Really.
Okay, well, thank you. Let's move on. Appreciate the call, Michelle. Okay. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a question for Mr. Nyquist. Did he get that YouTube I sent him by Tick about why Hitler killed Ernst Röhm?
Yeah, I follow Tick. Yeah, it's basically he's right. You know, I mean, it's pretty much my understanding of what happened there.
Right, and it's the thing is that and this idea about Hitler making deals with Stalin. Hitler worked as a secret agent for the German army and was sent there to infiltrate and spy on the German Workers' Party, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And then, he eventually took it over and changed his name to the National Socialist Party. But he seems to think that Hitler tried to be a communist earlier that same year. Was he just infiltrating them, trying to spy on them? He actually trying to get involved with them, or was he later? He proclaimed his leftist inclinations, and he turned the German Workers Party to the National Socialist German Workers Party, and mixed in all his theosophy and esoteric stuff. But who was he actually working for? Was he still working for how did the Nazis get the eye of Stalin in 1923 was it the beer hall putsch? Was it because they knew somebody that had been involved with the communists and then was also creating this work? The Germans had taken over the German Workers' Party and turned it into what was apparently a socialist, radical socialist group, and he thought he could work with them. What's going on there?
Well, look, I think Tick pointed out that he thought that Hitler genuinely was part of Red Bavaria, but then changed back. I don't know the answer, because if Hitler's working as a spy, and there's some German and Austrian biographers. There's a new Austrian excuse me, biographer, hasn't it not been translated into English, that suggested that Hitler, you see, there's a book called The Hidden Hitler, which argues that Hitler was a homosexual, and that as such, you know, in Central Europe, it was traditional to use homosexuals and or Jews as spies to carry out secret work. And there, this was traditional going back to Roman times, and so there's this theory that Hitler had these connections to military intelligence going back before he even came to Germany. For example, why he got out of the Austrian draft before World War I, why he wasn't drafted into the army. They actually came to Munich to get him, and they came back without him. That's unheard of. They weren't going to bring him back to Germany. Why? He had some special dispensation. Hitler's always seemed to have connections to the higher-up military people, like General Ludendorff, who was Hitler's protector and was involved in the Munich beer hall push. But as far as who Hitler was working for, Hitler was a narcissist and very selfish person, incredibly selfish person. Hitler was always working for Hitler. I think that's easy to see when you say, who was he working for? He was working for himself. He was advancing his own career. Now, at the end, when he lost the war, you know, as I was saying to the lady that just called about whether Hitler survived, he was willing to make a deal. And this is why General Model, his field marshal, they call him the Führer's fireman, who put out the fires on the Eastern Front. He, after he met with Hitler after the Battle of the Bulge, he said the Führer is a liar, because Hitler said he was negotiating. He told the generals he was negotiating with the West for peace, and he wasn't. He'd made some deal with Stalin, some dirty deal with Stalin. So that is the essential question, is what was that deal? And did he? Hitler also had a suicidal streak in him. There were many times he threatened to commit suicide and talked about committing suicide a lot, suicidal ideation. So the idea that he would kill himself in the bunker is pretty secure. But it was all about him, whatever it was. So I don't think he was working for Moscow, those people who claim he was a communist. He was always... whatever he did, he was looking out for number one.
All right, but I don't know what he was. Why was he? Why he was running around with the communists? Also, as for him, the stories of the people in the bunker, like Traudl, it made much about Traudl Junger's. She was, I think, she was the last one as the secretary who died. About
she was the younger secretary who stayed behind when Krista Schroeder, who was the senior secretary in the secretary pool, actually they flew them out of Berlin, a bunch of the other ones. So yeah, mm-hmm. She stayed behind. Yeah, but all these witnesses, they say he killed himself in the bunker. I mean, none of them say he survived.
Traudl Junger, when they examined her testimony about, she said she heard a shot. I mean, with the Goebbels children, she was in the pantry or the kitchen, and forensic tests were done, and I was thinking where the Hitler's bedroom was, Hitler and Eva's bedroom was, and its distance from where they would have been, plus the fact that there was an noisy air conditioning unit involved. They said that I don't doubt maybe that she heard a shot.
Other witnesses didn't hear the shot. I mean, Misch said he didn't hear a shot. I think Heinz Linge maybe said he didn't hear a shot. So that's not really, you know, people, witnesses, you know, are busy. They're worried about their own fate. By the way, there's artillery bombardment going off outside the bunker. You know, there's explosions and shots all the time there, because it was in the middle of the battle, actually towards the end of the Battle of Berlin. You know, the Russians were closing in on them. So, you know, shots and stuff isn't going to be something people are going to notice in that environment. I mean, in order to take Hitler's body outside, Hitler and Eva Braun, and put it in a shell crater right next to the bunker, means a shell landed right next to the bunker. I mean, this is, you know, it's kind of bad weather outside, right? It's raining shells.
Yeah, but
in an intense environment. John, we need to move on. Thank you for your call. Now, our next caller is JP in Chicago. Morning, JP.
Yeah, hey, before we go down the Hitler rabbit hole, I'd like to compliment the show, especially Jeff. I recommend my dad not get local papers. He gets the Epoch Times now. Very educational paper. And Bill Federer, that website, I ordered a couple of his books on Islam and the true history of St. Patrick. So I got to give those plugs to you guys. And today is like a college history lesson. Not 101, it was like 301. But I guess for Jeff, I got to ask you about, this is a rabbit hole. It's really hard. There's a lot of speculation about Hitler, but you hit right on the mark in the beginning. He was working with Stalin. I think it took him 30 days to invade Hitler and Stalin to invade Poland. But where I want to talk about is there's a lot of evidence, like if you look at the Hunting Hitler series, there's a guy, he's a Green Beret like you, John. His name is Kennedy. He's even out there fighting in Ukraine recently, a real tough guy, big kahunas on him. But he claimed there's a lot of evidence to show that he did escape down by Argentina because they were using these subs. They had a rat line through the Catholic Church in Spain, and they had these long, huge subs that can carry a lot of equipment. So I guess a couple things I'm going to throw out there is if Michelle hasn't seen the Hunting Hitler series, I believe that's on YouTube. It's a good rabbit hole to go down. But I guess the question for Steve is about Lavrov, because Lavrov came out and said Hitler was a Jew, that he was a son of a Rothschild. His mother was a maid at the Rothschild house. And if you look at Hitler working, he was a socialist, right? And he could have been Ashkenazi. You never know. He looked kind of dark. He didn't look quite German, Austrian, or whatever. And he was a backstabber. I mean, he backstabbed Stalin. He went and turned on Stalin after being friends with them. So Hitler's a real strange character. But one last thing about him possibly being Jewish was that Israel was set up right after World War II. I mean, Israel got all their funding and everything started right after World War II. And also, Nostradamus claimed he was the second Antichrist. They called him Hister, and that he would start a great war. So Hitler had a lot of occult symbolism to him, and part of me thinks he might have survived. I mean, hey, it's like Dracula, you know, how many times can you kill the guy? How many times they try to blow him up? So what do you think about that rabbit hole, Jeff? I know it was a long-winded question, but what do you think about Hitler
yeah,
surviving?
Yeah, no, I've seen the series. You know, there's another point here that Stalin, what people don't understand is that Martin Bormann and Heinrich Mueller, who were basically the leaders of the Nazi diaspora, Bormann especially, that moved all the gold, all this gold and other material into South America, Bormann was a Soviet agent, and so was Heinrich Mueller, the head of the Gestapo. In fact, we have testimony from the head of German foreign intelligence, SS foreign intelligence, Walter Schellenberg, that Mueller tried to recruit him as an agent of Stalin in April 1943. So this is very important because the Nazi diaspora ends up becoming a false flag Soviet-controlled operation. So that Moscow was controlling the Nazis because they controlled the top Nazi leaders after Hitler. Now, it would greatly aid their control over all the Nazis worldwide if they created the myth that Hitler had gotten out of the bunker. So if Stalin might have made a deal with Hitler for Hitler to escape, and Hitler might have realized that Stalin wasn't going to keep it. Because why would Hitler was a guy who, no matter what he agreed to, he would do his own thing. You couldn't control him. This was the mistake that the German conservatives made when they decided to form a coalition with Hitler and let him come to power and become chancellor. They thought they could control him. Nobody ever controlled that man. And so the problem is that they could have the Nazi movement. They could claim that Hitler was alive and well in Argentina and that the Führer would say this or that, and they could get the Nazi, you know, because this huge Nazi underground still existed, not only in Latin America, but also in Europe. So the Soviets could get a lot of mileage out of it, and all the better for Stalin to say the Allies were behind, you know, and they love to talk. Everybody on the left loves to talk about Operation Paperclip, how all the Nazis went to America and America was Nazified. No, not true. The Nazis were penetrated, infiltrated, and were off and on allies with the communists going back to the to 1923, when the Munich Beerhall push was supposed to be synchronized with the communist revolt in Berlin, which I think an earlier John had alluded to, earlier caller. But does that answer your question?
Yeah, and you know, you and Bill should, if you listened to his show earlier, but he was crossing over how the Nazis were working with the PLO, and they helped start the PLO. And the cross.
Well, the PLO is a Moscow created organization. It Nazis only helped to start it in the effect that the Nazis were working with the KGB.
KP,
great information.
Thanks for
calling. Thank
you. We appreciate it. We got our last break. We got one more call. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's a point. 7,000 RPM. Where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless. Just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM. That's where you need it. You feel it coming. Creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff, we got one last caller here. We got Fred in Wisconsin. Almost out of time, Fred.
Yeah, I'll just make it real quick. So Nazi International, that's what I'm saying. Jeff Rentz opened it up years ago. Basically, I agree totally. That's how they're being run. You got to look at a couple points. After Paperclip, there was a big push with the Germans in the technology. The guy that ran Bell Helicopter was one of those guys. That JFK assassination, you know, they're pointing at that because of JFK not wanting to do the Vietnam War, which would have cost the military-industrial complex lots of money. It was just the other day they brought up this thing about Eisenhower again, but that speech. You know, Eisenhower, after the end of the war, he really beat down the German population in Germany. This guy smelled a rat, and he came out and he said, this is what we got to beware of. They got into the CIA. I really think that the White House today is full of them, and that's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. Well, Jeff, we're all over the map here, this show.
You got to remember the communist propaganda view from Stalin is that we were always Nazis before Hitler. You know, I mean, this is the thing. And, of course, we fought the Nazis. Stalin tried, he started World War II, according to Viktor Suvorov and other works. He started World War II by aligning with Hitler. Then when he was trying to squeeze Hitler for everything he was worth, Hitler turned on him. So, but then he went and he was always having his cake and eating it too, Stalin. So then he was blaming the West for having, the CIA wasn't taken over by the Nazis. The United States wasn't, Paperclip wasn't the U.S. state. We used German scientists and we used German intelligence assets to build up our knowledge because we didn't have the spies all over Eastern Europe. The Germans did at the end of World War II. We wanted those networks. We wanted to understand this new enemy, the Soviet Union. The idea that the Soviet Union's innocent and America's guilty, you know, you're accusing your own country. You got to be for yourself, for your own country. I mean, it's not, America's not perfect. I'm not telling you to believe that. But don't believe enemy propaganda about your country being worse than it really is and being aligned with Nazis or being Nazi. The enemy we have before us is China and Russia. And China and Russia, we all defeated Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany, and each side got parts of those empires.
Jeff, we appreciate it, as always. Thank you, sir. See you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. Large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. Even larger, beautiful state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.